Let us pray. Holy God, may the words that I share at this time, may the thoughts of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight. For we know you are the one who not only strengthens us, but also redeems us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Today we continue our series on the Lord's Prayer. As I've been saying, it's important from time to time to revisit the prayer, to remind ourselves what we are saying and why. When we do something week after week, it becomes such that we're not really cognizant after a while of what we're saying. We just automatically say the words and move on. Now, the first week I talked about our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Reminding us that while we say Father, it's only so that we have an easier time relating with God. God is so much more, though, than our minds and our language can put into words that we can comprehend. And so it's easy, as I use that big word, to anthropomorphize God and call God Father. That's something that we can relate with. Last week I talked about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the thought was that God's kingdom is not just a place that we aspire to after this life. But is here on earth, right now. However, God's kingdom is not like we think of kingdoms here on earth, but rather it's more of a commonwealth where everything is shared with everyone. Everyone has enough. And so today we take up the third petition. Give us our daily bread. Now, several years ago, Barbara and I were celebrating our anniversary. So we decided to go into New York City for the day, and we walked the High Line. We'd never walked it before. It's kind of neat. And then we went up to Central Park. Barbara had never seen the carousel, so we saw the carousel. We didn't ride it. But then we kind of walked around the park just a little bit. And then we went for dinner, and we had reservations that I had made for a place called Philidius. Now, Philidius was started by and owned by Lydia Bastianich. And those of you who watch cooking shows on PBS know her as an Italian cooking chef. An incredible one. And I got several of her cookbooks. I always wanted to go to one of Lydia's New York City restaurants. And she has several, and her son has one or two. So we went. And the meal was very, 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 very good. But it was also very, 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 very expensive. Probably the most expensive meal that Barbara and I will ever eat. And on our ride home on the train, I remarked to her at one point, that's an awful lot of money for something that's going to have to be replenished after another 12 to 24 hours. And I think of that, and I ask myself, so what are we asking for when we say, give us this day our daily bread? And I don't think we're meeting dinner at Philidia's every night. We begin to get an idea from our Proverbs passage. Feed me with the food that I need, or I shall be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Now, back in Exodus, the Israelites are wandering in, or the Hebrews, excuse me, were wandering in the wilderness. And we have the story of manna and quail. manna was this flaky bread type stuff that appeared in the mornings, and quail were the birds that came in the evening. So they had bread and meat. And the Hebrew people were told to go out and collect just what they needed for that day. They could not collect more, because after a day, the more they collected would spoil. Now, many might call those rules the inefficiency of God in requiring people to gather only for a day and no more, because it'll spoil. This certainly goes against those old human adages that we have, save for a rainy day, or a penny saved is a penny earned, and all those other maxims that tell us to plan and to put away for tomorrow. Give us this day our daily bread. Reminds us that we only need so much for our lives. Think of it. Jesus was an itinerant preacher. He talks at one point, he doesn't have a place to lay his head at night. He's just out among the countryside with his disciples and depended on the generosity of others for sustenance, or maybe a place from time to time to lie down. There's quite possible that there were times that Jesus did not know when he and his disciples would eat again. They just needed enough to live, though. And they got that. And this is a very different thought for those of us who live in affluence. And believe me, compared to many in the world, we live in affluence. Not just the million billionaires, but we live in affluence. Mark Sandlin, in a piece entitled The Lord's Prayer Description, Not Prescription, writes, Jesus knew affluence undermines opportunities for us to depend on one another. It destroys our need to depend on anyone other than ourselves. And that severs our connectedness with one another. The reason Jesus taught that it's hard for rich people such as ourselves, yes, by worldly standards, we are rich, to enter the kingdom of heaven, is that committing to God means being able and willing to live day by day, depending upon God without an inordinate concern for our future. And that's very difficult. Because we're taught from day one, take care of yourself. And as I said, give us this day our daily bread. It's about more than food for the day. It's about much more than that, about love we need, the support we need, the care we need, as well as the food and the material. All of our daily requirements. And in praying for this, we are reminded that we need to depend not only on each other, but on God. That was the reason for that manna and quail, was so that the people would depend on God and know that God was taking care of them. This then brings us to that word, our. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, if you recall, I talked about praying our Father rather than my Father. It lifts up the inclusive nature of God's kingdom. There is a corporate nature to the prayer, a corporate nature to God's kingdom. And by corporate, I don't mean corporation. I mean people, all people. It's not just about my daily bread, but all of our daily bread. in an article entitled Participation in Creation, Sister Joan Chittister, she was one of the nuns on the bus, I think, or, whom I've heard a number of times at Chautauqua, shares the following story from the Sayings of the Desert Fathers and Mothers. One day, a holy monastic was going down to the town to sell some articles in order to buy food to live on. A paralytic on the side of the road said, "Where are you going, teacher?" And when the monastic said he was going to town, the paralytic said, "Would you do me a favor of carry me there with you?" So the teacher carried the paralytic into town. Then the paralytic said, "You can just put me down where you sell your wares." And the teacher did so. And when the monastic sold the article, the paralytic said, "What did you sell it for?" And when the monastic stated the price, the paralytic said, "Will you buy me a cake with that?" And the teacher did so. When the selling was over, the paralytic said, "Now will you do me the favor of carrying me back to the place where you found me?" And once more, the teacher did so. When they arrived at the place where the teacher had found the paralyzed beggar, the paralytic said, "You are filled with divine blessings in heaven and on earth," and disappeared. Then the monastic realized that the paralytic had really been an angel sent to try both the spirit and the flesh. You see, embedded in the story is the right of the wounded of society to make themselves a part of our world, to share in our fruits and labors, and in our prayers. As Cain found out, we are brothers and we are our brothers and sisters' keeper. The word "our" recognizes this fact and calls on God to give us this bread of life, not only to us, but to all people, even those whom we might deem not worthy. This petition of the Lord's Prayer is a request to God to give the world that which creates and makes for light and life, rather than darkness and destruction. Paul, in our 1 Corinthians passage, writes, "When you come together, it's not really to eat the Lord's supper. But when the time comes to eat, each of you go ahead with your own supper. And one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. What? Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you." Paul is decrying the idea that the Corinthians seem to only care about themselves. In essence, they're praying, "Give me my bread, daily bread, O Lord." They were not sharing what they had with others, and not just food, but a lot of things. Bread, as I said with the children's talk, is synonymous with life. Asking for daily bread is asking for all the things that give life to people, animals, all of God's creation. The Lord's Prayer is an inclusive prayer. Coleman Glenn, in a piece entitled "Why We Pray Our Daily Bread and Not My Daily Bread," shares the following: "When I pray, 'Give us this day our daily bread,' I'm asking that God to give me and the community I'm praying with, my children, my church, the world, what we need. And I'm praying that from my heart, I'm also going to be concerned about being a part of the answer to that prayer for our community." So that last piece then flips it back on us. By asking God to give us our daily bread, we are recognizing not only all of creation right to receive God's blessing, but that we too will share in making that blessing happen. Last Thursday night, I attended a service at Temple B'nai Israel in Bunnett Township. They hosted a special service in support of the Basking Ridge Islamic Society in light and in response to the Christchurch, New Zealand shooting. Muslim, Jewish, Christian prayers were spoken, and love and hope and peace were offered. It was our wish to stand with our Muslim neighbors during this difficult time. We were offering the bread of life to them, to the Muslim society. The week before, on Friday, when the Muslims gathered for their Friday prayers, members of Jewish and Christian faiths, all from this area, formed a human chain around where they meet and have their worship service, to show that they stood with them, that they cared about them, that they would protect them. And it was greatly appreciated by the Muslim community. We trusted that God was offering daily bread, and we wanted to offer it as well. As a part of that service, Dr. Ali Chaudhry, who is one of the main leaders of the Basking Ridge Islamic Society, shared a pledge that he developed several years ago and has been used in many organizations and shared around the state and even outside the state. And we all stood and recited it, and I'm going online to sign it. While interacting with members, it's the pledge to challenge bigotry. While interacting with members of my own faith or ethnic or gender community or with others, if I hear hateful comments from anyone about members of any other community, I pledge to stand up for the other and speak up to challenge bigotry in any form. I have a copy that I got at the service up on the board in Pollard Hall. That was the Lord's Prayer in action, that service. That was daily bread being given and received. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen.